is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. It has been less than a week since the release of the remaining living Israeli hostages, and the deal between Israel and Hamas is already being tested, with Israel carrying out airstrikes after accusing Hamas of violating the ceasefire. The breakthrough came after President Trump sent not two diplomats to move the negotiations along, but two businessmen. One of them, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who spoke to 60 Minutes tonight about the war.
The biggest message that we've tried to convey to the Israeli leadership now is that now that the war is over, if you want to integrate Israel with the broader Middle East, you have to find a way to help the Palestinian people thrive and do better.
Our Deborah Pata has the view from Gaza, where Palestinians are holding their collective breath.
For civilians eking out a life amid the rubble of Gaza, the threat of a return to war is too much to bear. Already on their knees, so many are making do with almost nothing in their hollowed-out ruins. If the war comes back, Umtarha Al-Kafana said, then that is the end of Gaza.
The Trump administration has struck a seventh alleged drug boat. They say it has ties to Colombia and killed three people. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Democrats warn the strikes risk getting the U.S. into a full-fledged war. Senator Bernie Sanders said the president needs authority to go to war from Congress.
The president is acting unilaterally in violation of the Constitution. That's a pretty big deal.
Sanders was on CNN. Our Elizabeth Palmer with a heist at the Louvre Museum in Paris, in which some top jewels were stolen.
Here's how the thieves broke in. On a hoist they'd parked at the backside of the museum. Dressed in fake uniforms, they broke a window and made straight for the sumptuous Apollo Room, where France's crown jewels are on display, including treasures that belonged to the Empress Eugenie, wife of Napoleon III. It took them all of 4 minutes to grab eight priceless pieces from the collection.
Tomorrow marks day 20 of the government shutdown. The Senate gets back to work this week. Democrat Mark Kelly on CBS's Face the Nation.
We should be able to wrap this up this week if they will sit down and have a negotiation with us. The president has spent 1 hour negotiating this issue with leadership in Congress. That's it, 1 hour. They need to get in the room and stay in the room until we can hash this out.
Republican Senator Katie Britt also on CBS.
We believe that you can walk and chew gum at the same time. Democrats, for some reason, don't think that that's possible. They need to come to the table, open the government back up, and then we're happy to have a conversation about the broken system that they created.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's all real news all morning, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. with great conversation all day on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
The Badgers lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids, but it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played number one team in the country. Now we played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. And you know, you got to learn from it and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season with sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with a low around 41. Windy with lots of sun for Monday, highs near 65. Southwest winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 at times. Monday night, showers and blustery with a low around 47.
It's 48 at our studios.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540
You're
WAUK.
Listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Albaugh Show for this Friday, October 17th, 2025. 6 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. We start the show on this Friday with breaking news, along with producer-engineer Aaron Zommers. We welcome you in. Lots to get to today, but making the news headlines about an hour ago, our very own Jimmy Cusca reporting this initially as part of his role is calling sporting events for the UW-Platteville Athletic Department. Therefore, Jimmy is on the UW-Platteville official mailing list. He first let us know this news, and now Channel 3000, WISC-TV, the CBS affiliate here in Platteville. The headline this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo Sauk County campus is closing in the spring semester after the spring semester of 2026. Here's the story, courtesy of Channel 3000, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville will be ceasing operations on its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd, 2026. The decision came after, quote, careful considerations, unquote, that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Officials said that the spring 2026 semester will continue as planned with in-person classes at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. UW-Platteville is set to help students transition to the main campus. The university will develop individualized plans for the staff and faculty. The statement coming from UW-Platteville Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich says, quote, this decision was not made lightly. Enrollment continues to decline on that campus, and we are committed to being good partners with the city and county by ensuring that the campus can be used in ways that best serve the region. We remain dedicated to supporting our students, faculty, and staff through the transition. Student success is at the heart of our mission, and it goes on from there, unquote. That are the words of the UW-Platteville Chancellor, which oversees UW-Baraboo as well. The campus opened in 1968, and, of course, comes after the first of the two-year campuses in the UW system, one of 13 at the time, the University of Wisconsin Center Richland. We were there when that news first broke. And subsequently, by my count, and I'll stand corrected, by my count, this is now the seventh of the 13 two-year campuses that will be closed under the tenure of the University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman and during the term of Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Joining us to discuss this breaking news via telephone from his home in Richland Center, the former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader, Republican Dale Schultz, who also served in as many roles over his time in the legislature as the chair of the Higher Education Committee in the State Senate, which oversees both the UW system and the technical college system in this state. And, of course, he spent time on the powerful Joint Finance Committee. Dale, and in full disclosure, I was Dale's chief of staff for a time as well. Dale, good afternoon. Thank you for making time on this disturbing news afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. This is indeed disturbing news. You know, I was always very proud of the University of Wisconsin when it believed that the borders of the university are the borders of the state. And with each campus that closes, those borders shrink in size, and the students, the traditional and non-traditional students who depended on these campuses, find themselves being left high and dry. And for a state that once prided itself on its educational prowess, it is indeed a sad day. And you know what is so insulting is that once again, the university board of regents and administration didn't hold a public discussion and forum. And yes, they dropped the news late on Friday, where all news goes to the graveyard as quickly as possible.
Dale, you represented, correct me if I'm wrong, over your 30-plus years in the state legislature, the assembly, and the state senate, you always either represented UW-Baraboo, UW-Richland, or UW-Platteville, or at one time, I think, all three. So you're keenly aware of the needs and the resources of these universities in Southwest Wisconsin. And it would seem to me, and what I find to be particularly disingenuous in this is Chancellor Ivanovich saying that they're going to be there to help the community transition. We know that UW-Richland County, another very financially strained county where you're at, I'm from, and Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz got $2 million in the last budget through the Joint Finance Committee to help Richland County, quote-unquote, transition. But the untold story is Richland County had to take over $1 million of that just to build a new bridge to get the equipment onto campus to help do some of these things that need to be done. Where's the promise for actual dollars for Sauk County, Dale? And talk to us a little bit about, about this. Sauk County taxpayers have already allocated resources that were very needed for their county nursing home because they were told that if they did that, the UW system in Platteville would work to save this Baraboo campus.
Well, that's pretty much the story. And I think once again, the rug was pulled out from underneath folks and people in this area who are worried about the economy like they are in many places in this country, particularly young people. The ability to be job worthy depends on continuing education and access to education. And this just is another nail in the coffin. And it means that rural areas and smaller communities are going to not prosper like they should. I mean, I don't know that I can say that these communities will dry up and blow away, but I do know that they've invested considerable money, resources, time in trying to make this a cornerstone of industrial development, tourism, and a way to bring young people back to these communities. And now it appears to be for naught.
We're talking with former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz of Richland Center, a Republican, also served as the chair of the Senate Higher Education Committee, about this breaking news that UW System and UW Platteville have announced that UW Baraboo, the two-year college there connected to UW Platteville, will be closing after May of this coming year. Dale, one more question on this. I want to move to one other breaking news story or hot news story of the day. On this campus thing, You've been in the legislature, you've seen the importance. I know you understand the importance of higher education for rural counties. But what do you make? I want to go back to something you said earlier. What do you make of President Jay Rothman never setting foot in Richland County and talking with local elected leaders or campus people? I don't see any evidence that he did so at at in Sauk County for this Baraboo campus. I haven't found evidence he's done it at any other of the two-year colleges that he's closed. And even Democratic Governor Tony Evers, we never hear anything. All we hear is this excuse of, well, the enrollment is low. Well, 178 people at the Baraboo campus might be down, but it wasn't like it was 50-something at Richland. And the system never provided monies for a recruiter for these colleges. Why isn't there more transparency on both the UW system part, on the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee, and Governor Evers?
For many years, the system was engaged in enrollment management. And somebody decided they weren't going to do anymore. And I assume it was since there wasn't support or enough support for the university from the state, they had to turn to more lucrative ways of getting the money from students that were from out of state. And again, what that does to the students in this state overall is it means that they have less opportunities. And, you know, it's getting to the point where there isn't any mystery why people are upset and angry about government in all its respects. It's just hard to trust anybody. They never carry through on their word. They don't seem to be interested. It's just a bunch of folks who think they have all the answers and they don't need to listen to anybody. People want a seat at the table. They want an opportunity to discuss what's important to them and the issues that are important to them, and they don't seem to get it. Folks want to brush things under the rug. They want to provide, the complete transparency. And in the end, it leaves the general public, with a bad taste in their mouth. And what it looks to me is further evidence of bad leadership.
Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader for Wisconsin, on the phone with us. I want to jump to get your comments on one other story that's been breaking over the last 24 to 40 hours. The Capital Times breaking a story on Department of Public Instruction here in Wisconsin. Headline, 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases here in the state of Wisconsin shielded from the public. And this is a lengthy story. It's a disturbing story. The gist of it is that over 200 cases of licensed both teachers, aides, support staff were investigated for sexual misconduct in the state and was never brought into the light of day. The Capital Times, the reporting, found at least 44% of the Department of Public Instruction's over 450 educator license investigations since 2018 involved sexual misconduct and grooming allegations. Here's what's odd to me is that Superintendent Dr. Jill Underly declined requests for this interview with the Capital Times, saying that, quote, it would create a conflict of interest, unquote, since Underly oversees educator licenses. That's according to her spokesperson, Chris Boucher. Dale, it's a disturbing story, but just your general comments on this reporting by the Capital Times and the reaction or non-reaction of Superintendent Underly. 2 minutes.
Well, I think that the Capital Times deserves everyone in this state's gratitude for their aggressive reporting and getting to the issues that have really concerned people these days. With the Joseph Epstein thing in Washington, D.C., people have begun to believe that we are got pedophiles everywhere. Now, the facts have yet to come out and should come out on every single one of these cases. Perhaps some are real grooming type problems. Others might just be blown out of proportion issues. But every one of them deserves a thorough and transparent discovery process. And it looks to me like here again in Madison, we've missed the opportunity to bring Republicans and Democrats together on something which is not partisan, and to sit them down and say, let's sort this out. Let's put in place some policies, procedures, and laws to make sure that Wisconsin isn't in this position again. You know, once upon a time, we were proud in this state of what people everywhere thought of our educational systems and schools. And it just seems, you know, these two stories, you know, again, are just more chinks in the armor that made us something that was special. And that's too bad because we're better than that. We deserve better than that. And I hope that the governor will provide the leadership and the legislature
Dale Schultz,
will come together.
Up against the clock. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Come on back. We'll discuss both these breaking news stories on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025, 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Not a lot of fun in this hour, but we'll get to it in hour number two. Coming up in hour number two, Craig Benzine and Ty Morris of No Packers, No Life, great film. Going to be here briefly talking about their latest screening coming up this weekend, tomorrow, maybe one tonight as well, but tomorrow here in Madison, we'll talk with them. A brand new segment we're calling Wisconsin Fun Fact. What's worse? Are you an allergy person? We'll talk about that. And Peter Rapine rounds out the show, the managing editor of EPOM's World, with a humorous look at the weekend review. But for some huge news day for a Friday, as often is the case, and taking your calls on it, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. First, this breaking news, courtesy of Channel3000.com. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville will close the Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. Decision came after, quote-unquote, careful consideration, and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout the transition. Once again, UW System is blaming the closure on enrollment, saying there are only 178 students left at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. And we've heard this narrative for going on 3 years. from when they first closed the Richland campus. But what they don't want to talk about, Jay Rothman, president of the system, what they don't want to talk about, Tony Evers in the governor's office, what most of the legislature doesn't want to talk about, both Republicans and Democrats, sans for State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat here in Madison, who has had the temerity and the courage and leadership to go out into the state of Wisconsin and meet with communities and meet with students and speak out about this. Former Democratic State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point did the same thing. But other than those folks, all silent. They announce these things on Friday. Nobody has a comment. Nobody has a press conference. Jay Rothman doesn't visit these communities. You don't see Tony Evers holding listening sessions in Baraboo on this. And meanwhile, higher education in the state is dying on the vine. The Wisconsin idea right now in this state looks a lot closer to the University of Wisconsin Badger football team. Partner dead. And what outrages me is they don't have the balls to go out and face the people of this state and tell them why they're doing it. They say it's enrollment. Give me a break. Because they don't fund the recruiters to get students there. I know this for a fact. There was a missing $1 million, allegedly, a missing $1 million in the Platteville Foundation fund after Dennis Shields left before Tammy Yovanovitch took over, and nobody wants to talk about it. And when I raise this to people, now one of them, Jeff Barrant, who's no longer with President Rothman, when I raise this to their face, they look at me and say, how did you know about that? Believe me, there is a lot more going on here that Wisconsinites, voters, and taxpayers don't know about. And all I'm asking for from Evers, from Jay Rothman, just be honest. We can take it. Just be honest. Because the real people being hurt are the students and the people that people trying to go back, non-traditional students, and get their finish their degrees. People in rural Wisconsin trying to get a degree, just making their lives better. Help themselves. But everybody wants to hide behind, you know, Friday evening, Friday afternoon press dumps. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick. Rick, you got about 2 minutes here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just remembering back when you and I were at Richland Center, and we had international students there. Ever since they decided to pair these two-year campuses with larger universities, the recruiting and stuff has gone down at these two-year campuses. They're not trying. And Platteville especially, they came out at the beginning and said they did not want to recruit for these two-year campuses.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right, Rick, and I appreciate you calling and thanks for your listenership. And yeah, when we were going to the 2 years, these international programs, I just went to a celebration of life for my friend Linda Gentis, who ran the Central American Scholarship Program, international, a continuing education program. Vital necessities for these rural communities, for everybody, but particularly for small communities. By the way, Chris in Madison on the text line listening to us on WMDX says Dale Schultz is correct. Public education is only one example of Wisconsin's slide to mediocrity under the right-wing Republicans. I was once proud of my state, not anymore. And Chris, I don't disagree. I agree that a large part of this falls on the Republicans in the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee for not properly funding these things. But look, I'm being fair here. You got to assess some of the blame to the Democratic governor in the governor's office in the East Wing, Tony Evers. He could have drawn a line in the sand on this last budget deal for that. He chose not to. Look, that's his choice. All I'm asking for, Governor Evers, is just have the gumption to be honest with us. Just come out and say, look, I don't think we should have two-year colleges anymore. They've outlived their purpose. We're closing them all. Because that's where this is headed, by the way. There will be no two-year colleges left at the end of this culling. Connected to the UW system. They got rid of the map. Do you realize this? The official map of the UW system used to have the 13 four-years and 13 two. They redid the logo, changed the colors, changed the name, and they eliminated all of the 2 years off the map. You don't think that was a sign? Come on back after this. It's the Tom Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
CBS News Brief. Less than a week after Hamas freed the remaining living Israeli hostages, the ceasefire in Gaza is under strain. Jared Kushner, one of the members of the U.S. delegation that helped broker the peace plan, tells 60 Minutes, Hamas is searching for the remains of the missing dead hostages in good faith.
As far as we've seen from what's being conveyed to us from the mediators, they are so far. That could break down at any minute, but right now, we have seen them looking to honor their agreement.
The U.S. military struck another alleged drug-carrying vessel. It is the seventh known attack in recent weeks. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The administration announced U.S. forces had killed three men and destroyed another boat suspected of running drugs in the Caribbean Sea.
In France, thieves break into the Louvre Museum, stealing jewelry of value in a brazen heist.
When you rob the Louvre, that's a big deal to all of France, so I knew something was up because of the way they swept the whole museum.
Joan Carpenter visiting from California. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
The Badgers lose again. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost at home to Ohio State 34-0 for a second week in a row. The Badgers were shut out. Last week, they lost to Iowa 37-0. Now, the last time the Badgers lost in back-to-back shutouts was 1977. Head coach Luke Fickell asked about fans at Camp Randall Stadium chanting "Fire Fickell" again.
I know this, that it's disappointing to our kids. But it's also can be motivating as well. And that's what we got to continue to find is the ways to motivate us intrinsically that puts a better product out there so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Badgers linebacker Darrell Peterson on dealing with the loss.
Oh, you learn from it. I mean, we just played number one team in the country now. We played some slouches. Played a great team. And they played great on offense and defense today. And you know, you got to learn from it and you got to keep going.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. The Packers looking for their first road win this season with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with a low around 41. Windy with lots of sun for Monday, highs near 65. Southwest winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 at times. Monday night, showers and blustery with a low around 47.
It's 48 at our studios.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20, make it 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 17th, 2025. A little out of voice today. I'll explain in just a little bit. Went to the doctor right before the show. It's one of these Todd stories. We'll get into that a little bit. First, want to finish up these more serious things. Talking about the news breaking this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo at Sauk County campus. If you're not familiar, Sauk County is right below Wisconsin Dells. Most people know where Wisconsin Dells is at, Baraboo, just south of that. Going to close the campus at Baraboo after the spring 2026 semester. 178 students enrolled right now. And UW System says that is why they're closing. They call that low enrollment. Which, by the way, as someone who knows a little bit about this, as my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman dean of a campus in Wisconsin at UW-Richland and helped found the two-year campuses, like one of the concepts was a smaller class size. More specialized attention. Okay, well, maybe they say the average class size at Baraboo is 14. When I went to UW-Richland, it was probably 25-ish, somewhere between 20 and 25-ish. Some classes have maybe 35. My problem with this is they're not being honest, and they haven't been for 3 years since they closed the first one at Richland County, because neither Jay Rothman, the president of the system, Tony Evers, or people from their administration will go on the, well, I guess Rothman sent one of his people out to Richland County. But these guys, as decision makers, as the heads, the executive, will not meet with their constituents, will not meet with taxpayers and explain what's really going on. And they don't fund recruiters to get kids to these schools like they did when I was going there. So if you're not funding recruiters, if you're the Republican legislature and you're not putting the money in there, just be honest about it. Again, where's Tony Evers' statement today calling Jay Rothman out? Haven't seen one. Don't think we will. By my count, we're on two-year school number 7 being closed. Have a town hall. Go online. I mean, have an online hall. And have Republicans and legislative leaders sit down and explain their plan for the University of Wisconsin system. I think we're entitled at least to that. 855-752-4842. Gene, listening on try that again, Todd. It's been one of those days.
Okay,
I apologize, Claire. Gene. WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, you don't have to do that every time. I love your passion, your concern, and we're all blessed to have you on the air. I want you to know that.
But
I have to say, not a but. That's a good thing. It really is. And people need to be aware of this because it's happening in every single area of our lives.
Our state.
It's happening with physicians. It's happening with hospitals. It's happening with schools. It's happening with businesses. It's happening everywhere. And I don't know where a person just picks, unfortunately, where they can go when we got people that that are serving in our state, where Scotty Walker came in and started cutting everything and doing exactly what Trump's doing in our federal government. And we got these Republicans who will not open the purse strings and help the people and do things for the people, which is really insulting and it's infuriating. So, you know, there's, you can pick something from every avenue of our lives, but we all need to fight back by protesting, by calling these people, and also by, you know, and have your voice heard and think of strategies and interview the people that are running and find somebody that, that's really going to stand out there and they're going to fight. Because I think there's a lot of people that are really getting pooped out from fighting the nonstop battles. And also, I want to say one more thing about sexual abuse. Very, very difficult thing to deal with. However,
The DPI story is a different story, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. And I worked with kids who were sexually abused. And I worked in the school system, okay? But the thing of it is that, you know, I don't know how they do their background checks now, but they used to do really good background checks. They used to have a lot of people applying for the schools. Now there's all kinds of openings in the schools. So, you know, we need to get back to getting qualified people and good people there. And also we need to give this some time here because they cannot impact teachers who have not committed these crimes to get their name out there. And all of a sudden, you know, they won't be able to teach ever again if they did not do it. So it's really, it's a scary thing though, because this is alarming. So
let me ask you quickly, because you've worked in education and you're very astute. You pay attention to these things. Keep me honest. Do you think it is irrational or asking too much that our elected officials on both sides give us the truth about these campus closures? Because I think what's interesting about this is I don't hear anything from either side. This isn't, you know, the Democrats going after Robin Voss, the Republicans for these two-year campus closures, or vice versa. They're both silent, and they're not criticizing each other, which to me seems very, very odd in these political times.
Well, let me tell you something. If I had a list of all the things that I have very strong concerns about, you know, I mean, where do you choose?
Yeah.
And how big of a population do you choose? And I feel really bad because they need help there. And the sooner we get good people in our government, maybe this will be able to rebuild from this. But we're blessed to have you on the air.
we're blessed to have you as a listener. Thanks, Gene. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Gene and Eau Claire at WCFW The Tap. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. John, listening in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, on WAUK, says this campus closure situation was all started with Ray Cross, i.e. Double Cross. I like that. This was their plan to make the four-year take the blame for not funding the UW system. Thanks, John. I appreciate your listenership. John is not wrong about that. We've talked about this on the show before. Ray Cross, who was the chancellor of the two-year colleges, the last one before they merged, and then he became president, and there was a thoughtful plan how to keep our two-year campuses, adapt them to changing times by, I guess, the final chancellor, Kathy Sandeen. And Ray Cross, then as president, shelved that, didn't let it see the light of day, and went to the Board of Regents and the 4 years and said, all right, here's the deal. You're going to get these two-year campuses. You're going to get these two. You don't have a choice. And he literally, from people in the room, Ray Cross, as president of the UW system, told the four-year chancellors, quote, you're either going to sink or swim, unquote. That was the plan by Ray Cross. And clearly they're sinking. And then there's, as John points out, predominantly Republicans in the legislature underfunded the UW system. And this is where it gets weird. Tony Evers gets elected governor. Most governors appoint the Board of Regents, their staggered terms. And so by this time now, Tony Evers had a majority of Democratic appointed Board of Regents. So the governor essentially gets to make the call at that point, who the assistant president is. And they allow Jay Rothman, former head of Foley & Lardner, huge law firm, never had any experience in education, mind you, but the head of a law firm. You know what heads of major law firms, their main job is? Cut. Bottom line. Dollars. No emotion. And that's exactly what they got in Jay Rothman. So it seems like a very odd and disturbing set of bedfellows politically in this case when it comes to the closing of the two-year schools. Because you don't hear Democrats. I mean, where is the liberal Democrats today? Where are their press statements attacking Jay Rothman? I mean, they're smart people. They don't miss an opportunity. There's been six closures and now today seven. Other than Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin, crickets. Anyway, we'll keep following this story. Obviously, I'm passionate about it. We mentioned this earlier. If you did not hear Jane Matinere and Greg Bach and Dan Schaefer this morning on Matinere on Air, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. You can find it at civicmedia.us. They had an informative and good, in this case, I guess you'd say, discussion on this Capital Times story, reporting by Danielle DeClos at the Capital Times. Came out a couple days ago here. And it details a major problem at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction and Dr. Jill Underle. 200 teachers of sexual misconduct cases, grooming cases, were shielded from the public. And what's particularly disturbing to me, well, first and foremost, the alleged victims here, but secondarily, the fact that the newly elected Department of Public Instruction head, Jill Underle, will not talk about this, refused to talk to the Capital Times. Her spokesperson, blaming it on Republicans, saying that, well, you know, we had a line item in the joint finance budget for $600,000 that would have looked at more of these types of things and addressed it. But Republicans voted it down. Fine. I blame the Republicans for that. But why in the heck? This is where Democrats are so bad at messaging. Because Republicans would have had in their satchels a press or a handout if the joint finance would have voted that down and said, okay, here's the facts. This is why Robin Voss, the Republicans, and Howard Markline are not keeping our kids safe because they just cut $600,000 that would have kept our kids safe. But we never heard that from Underle or anybody else at DPI until now. And if it got voted down by the Joint Finance Committee, why in the heck wasn't Jill Underle and DPI immediately calling for a separate bill, just like the Nelson Stewardship Fund people? That didn't get through Joint Finance, but they've launched a public campaign working bipartisanly in the legislature right now on two different bills to fund the Nelson Stewardship Fund. Underle on this? Crickets. I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Jill Underle will not survive this. That is my prediction. Because how can you, if you're somebody in the Wisconsin Public Education Network, or if you're somebody in WEAC, the largest teachers union in the state, how can you invite Jill Underle to your conventions and events until she answers these things? You can't. I think she'll be forced to resign, and in my understanding of Wisconsin law, Governor Evers will appoint a new superintendent. Because you can't justify this. And it's a very graphic and very heartbreaking article from the Cap Times. And yes, there may be, this is important, there may be some people that were falsely accused. And they should have, and in many cases, and by the way, the cases in this Cap Times story, they're over. We'll come back. We'll explain it more because this is really important. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It's 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS News, Weather Sports by a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And in hour number two, we have Craig Benzine and Ty Morse from the great new film, No Packers, No Life, going to talk about new screenings this weekend, trying to fit in a Wisconsin fun fact, what's worse. And then Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, comes in with a humorous look at the weekend review. Lots to get to, a short time to get there. Talking about this story, the Capital Times, a couple days ago. Again, if you didn't hear, go back and listen to Matt Nair on air this morning on civicmedia.us. Greg Bach, along with Jane Matt Nair and our political editor, Dan Schaefer, had a thorough discussion on this Capital Times story, or go to the Cap Times and read it yourself. Danielle DeKloss, a year-long investigation into the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Want to be clear, these were allegations against over 200 teachers, educators, aides, administrators, people in different school districts across Wisconsin that had misconduct/grooming cases that were shielded from the public. Some very graphic, disturbing details in this. My understanding in reading this article is that these are individuals who had allegations, in some cases graphic, and Wisconsin law provides one of the things in there that if you give up your educator, if you give up your license, you don't have to basically be investigated any further. And so some individuals did that. And the problem is, or the concern is, that these individuals are on a list at DPI and it was not shared. And when they gave up their license, it doesn't say why. So theoretically, they could be hired somewhere else. And there's a database list at Department of Public Instruction they've been sitting on and essentially forced the Capital Times to issue a Freedom of Information Act request to get this. In other words, tried to stop the press from getting this information. Because the only reason you file a information request, because you ask, is, hey, can I get this? No, not unless you file a request. And so that's very disturbing. And Dr. Jill Underly, no comment. And they're trying to blame it on the Republicans, saying, well, they were underfunded. Fine. But why didn't they immediately call for a bipartisan bill to fund this? Why did it take a Freedom of Information request to find this information out? And let me be clear about this. Republicans are already using this to go after all of public education. This is the problems with it, and politicize this. And let me also be clear, as someone who spends a lot of time with public educators and goes to a lot of these forums, there are teachers right now, and this is a real story, not anybody I know personally, but a teacher educator saw a cell phone in the back of a student's pants, like in their jeans or whatever. And in that school, you're not supposed to have your cell phone in the classroom. The teacher said, hey, I see your cell phone. Please take it back to your locker. The father of that kid called the district the next day and said, why is that teacher looking at my kid's ass? That's where we're at on that side of it. So, now you've got this story by the Cap Times and Jill Underly only making everything worse by not just being truthful about it up front. I don't see how she politically survives. 855-752-4842. Rick, if you could do it quickly, please. Rick in Waukesha on WAUK. Go ahead.
Okay. Frontline has a program about Paradise, California that burnt down 40,000 homes and a bunch of deaths. And before it happened, and during and after it happened, and all of the groups involved, departments of government, different groups of the media, it started on Campfire Road, and the public thought it started by a campfire. It started by the electrical towers, and they couldn't get a fire truck to it when it was very little. Now, all of these groups explain all their reasons through this program, and it's all pointing fingers in a circle. It's every group, and then eventually the groups unite that it's nobody's fault.
So your point is that the historians of Wisconsin, we have to have more transparency.
No, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Now, this program was made like 4 years later, so they have all kinds of victims involved, interviews, and it's very well done. And this is how multiple groups program, and then eventually they cleanse themselves of their part, all as a group.
Appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you very much. Rick in Waukesha, AUK. Yes, it doesn't matter whether it's in California or Wisconsin. You need transparency, whether that's the EW system, whether that's Department of Public Instruction. You need transparency. Linda on the text line in Middleton, listening on WMDX here in Madison, says she was a charter member of the class, the charter class of BU, in other words, UW-Baraboo, said, so very sad. I met my husband there. It is disgusting. Whatever happened to the Wisconsin idea? Linda in Middleton, thanks. I appreciate that. On our leading story today of the UW-Baraboo campus closing in this announcement here this afternoon. Lots to get to. Obviously, not going to have we'll work this in, try to, before the end of the show. The No Kings rally this weekend. Be careful out there if you're going, and be prepared if you're not, if you're watching, for lots of disinformation. I've got stories here about misinformation in Chicago, stories of misinformation in Oregon, where the federal government, it's been proven now, has manipulated video to try to justify use of force. So be careful what you see and hear this weekend from trusted news sources or otherwise. Let this play out. Because there's going to be a lot of disinformation. I would say stay the heck off of social media this weekend as well. Look, one, two, I mean, I have stacks of news. So we could do 4 hours today, but we won't. We'll come back, though, after news, weather, and sports, and lighten it up a bit. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers, and Peter Rapine is along as well. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're a Civic Media station.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Is there peace in the Middle East? It's what President Trump promised less than a week ago when he signed a peace plan for Gaza and Israel. But the ceasefire showed signs of strain this weekend, with Israel launching strikes into Gaza after saying Hamas killed two of its soldiers. Still, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, who helped broker the plan, says he hopes it holds up from this point forward.
The success or failure of this will be if Israel and this international mechanism is able to create a viable alternative. If they are successful, Hamas will fail, and Gaza will not be a threat to Israel in the future.
He was on 60 Minutes tonight. More from our Deborah Pata with a view from Gaza.
Hospitals